Only in God alone is my soul at rest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We all have anxieties, right? We all have worries. Is there anyone here who is carefree, just walking through life, just ambling about? Is there somebody here who doesn't have a concern for the future? Or isn't distressed and fearing something that's going on right now? Anyone? Just so you know, not a single hand is being raised, not even Father's. We all have difficulties and struggles. We worry about our jobs. We worry about our schoolwork, our athletic prowess, our performance. We worry about what we're going to wear today, didn't we? Sometimes we even worry that if the beard that we're wearing right now is going to scare the young children. I'm hoping, young ladies, that you recognize that Father is just hiding behind this creature. He's still there. It's still him. Now, we worry about not just silly things like that, but we worry about important things. We worry about things like our kids. We wonder about they're going to be successful in life, if they're going to go to school and make a lot of friends, or if they're going to be bullied in some way. We worry about, are they going to keep practicing the faith? And when they don't, it wounds us deeply, doesn't it? We worry about our grandchildren, though, too. We worry that, are they going to find really good spouses? Or the marriages that they're living within, are they going to last? We worry about whether they're going to be able to break free from the addictions to drugs or alcohol or anything that's binding them, enslaving them. These are things that concern us. And we also worry about our infirmed parents, don't we? We worry about how is that sickness going to progress, or what the pains are that they're going to experience. Are they still going to remember me? Are they going to feel alone and abandoned because I can't be with them 24/7? As young people, we worry about whether we're going to go to what college we're going to go to, if they're going to pick us up in some sort of give us a scholarship, or what else is going to happen in our lives. Always worries. I myself worry. I have lots of worries because these same things, even though I don't have any physical children of my own, what do you call me? I'm your father. And because of this, I have anxieties over you constantly. I wonder about how things are going to go on in your life, whether it is that I'm going to be able to be the priest that you need. St. Paul talks about, is there anyone who is scandalized? And I do not burn within. He's a good pastor. I worry about the same thing. If there is a sin which is going on in our community, and because it's going on, it's going to cause you to fall away and to lose faith in the sacraments. If somebody goes off and gets married outside of the church, is that going to lessen your idea in the beauty of marriage, which we presented before? Or if somebody goes out and does some great evil and yet approaches the Holy Communion, are we not going to remember that he is truly there? Or if somebody goes on without going to confession and still God does not strike them in the moment, are we going to think that we can get away with things and have a horrible surprise at the end of life? I worry about these things because I want you to achieve heaven. I want you to see God. I worry. But what does our Lord say to us? In these worries, anxieties, these perturbations of soul that constantly are afflicting us, what is it that God has to say? He gives us a few things. He says, only in God alone can my soul be at rest. That's what it says in the psalm that Mickey read for us. It says that in the first reading. It talks about it in our gospel, and it speaks about it clearly in that psalm, Psalm 62, verse 6, something that should constantly be something that's reverberating within our hearts. We need to take a look at that because God is basically saying, look, there are things that we're fretting about, but they're going to work out. We don't need to spend so much time fretting. He says this to us. He speaks and he says, look, don't worry. Don't worry about these things. You can't change any of that. You can't turn one of your hairs black or white. I'd like to turn my hairs white. Maybe you'd like to turn yours black. I can't add a single moment to my life by worrying about it. He says, I am your Father. I'm the giver of every single good gift. I will take care of every single one of your needs if you just put your trust in me. If you just lay yourself before me, I will take care of you and will be with you to the end. What does it say in our gospel? It says, even if a mother can forget her child, I'm not going to forget you. Mickey, could you ever forget Georgia Rose? Not going to happen. Melissa, could you ever forget your Victoria? No matter how much she frustrates you. Huh? I frustrated my mom so much, I know every day of my life she wanted to strangle my neck. But she never would forget about me. And reminds me that every time by showering me with her hugs and her kisses every time I see her. Even if a mother could forget her child, God would never forget you. Because he claims you from the moment of holy baptism, which we're about to celebrate for a young sailor, Grace. Soon she's going to get that name, Claire, that you've given her. Claimed her as his own forever, no matter what. Saying, you, Claire, are my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased, and I will take care of you no matter what you go through. I will be with you because you're mine, not for any other reason. And so that is what we have to lay claim to, brothers and sisters, in this Mass and every day of our lives, as God wants to speak to us, saying, do not worry about a thing. And what's the greatest sign that God gives us that demonstrates for us that we don't have to worry? Do you know? Baptism is pretty great, but he gives us something even greater, the Eucharist. The Eucharist, which is God's very presence, it is actually God himself. The Eucharist is strength. Strength for the journey. And so, as we've been talking about the sacraments these 6 weeks prior, I just want to very, very quickly cover the greatest of them all. The Eucharist. 4 points that I'll go through very, very quickly. 4 points. What is a sacrament? Then, why did Jesus give us the Eucharist? And thirdly, does the Eucharist mean anything for me? Obviously it does. And then I want to give you a prayer to pray every single day of your life, even if you can't receive Jesus in the Eucharist, to pray that prayer. To bring God's presence into your life through that longing to remain with him and him to remain with you forever. So review quickly. What is a sacrament? The definition. A sacrament is an outward, that's right, sign of an inward change or transformation, exactly, instituted by whom? Jesus Christ, right? That gives us what? Grace, the very name of little sailor right there, grace. And what is grace? Grace is the divine life, the divine power, God's very presence within us to give us something which we couldn't do on our own. Which is be great. Because God wants us to be great, to be saints, which is why at baptism we always take a saint's name so that we can have that person to follow after the rest of our lives. Claire. Claire, who is so devoted to the Eucharist that even the infidels, as they tried to destroy her and all of Assisi, were driven away because she held up the monstrance, the Eucharist, Jesus Christ, and they went away fleeing. The power of the Eucharist. Sacraments are signs that actually bring into being what they symbolize. What is that? With the Eucharist, what does it symbolize? It is food, right? And we eat food to give us strength. And so when we eat the Eucharist, it gives us God's strength. Also, the Eucharist symbolizes the very presence of God. We say, he says, this is my body. This is my blood. But you know what it actually is? It actually is him. And we were so blown away with that when the Eucharistic exhibit came, weren't we? How we could see that it was actually DNA provable Jesus Christ. Amazing. He is actually present, not just by sign, but in reality. And sacraments, they aren't magic, right? They're not magic. We actually have to be disposed to receive the grace, the power that God wants to give us. So if we come here to approach Jesus in the Eucharist, we don't believe it's him. Cut ourselves off from that grace. If we come down to receive the Eucharist and we haven't gone to confession, we can't receive that grace. And in fact, it becomes a curse for us as another sin. But if we want to receive it, if we prepare ourselves to receive him, the whole floodgates of heaven are received into us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, Jesus Christ. That's what the sacraments do. Now, why? Have you even thought of it? Ever in your life, that second point? Have you thought about why it is that Jesus gave us the Eucharist? Kind of a funny thing to do, right? Well, you know what? This is it. It's very simple. God gave us the Eucharist because he realized that he had to ascend to his Father. His Father wanted him back. He couldn't just walk with each and every one of us every single day of our lives physically. His physical presence was bound to his body. But if he ascended to his Father, he could remain with us. How? Through the Eucharist. Through the Eucharist. His very presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity confected for us. He said, I want to be with you, Jude, for the rest of your life. He said, every single day of your life, you can see me, receive me, if you come to Mass. He wants to be with us so that we don't have to worry about anything. He wants to walk with us and to come upon our tongues, to enter into our bodies, because he could only walk next to us if he was with us in the flesh. But because he gave us the Mass and the Eucharist, he could enter into us. He could meld his own DNA with ours in a radical way to transform everything within us from within in a way that we could know that it was happening, not just in a mystical, spiritual sense. That's why God gave us the Eucharist, because he wants to remain with us. Third point, rather. What does the Eucharist do for me? It does a lot of things, and I could spend another 3 weeks going over just the various effects of the Eucharist, but we only got a short amount of time, so I'm going to give you one thing. One thing that the Eucharist does for us that'll blow your mind, I hope. How many of you here have a family member who isn't here at Mass? Nobody? Everybody has all their family members here. We must have really small families. That's right. Lots of us, right? How many of you have a family member who doesn't live in Fort Sumner? Family member who is maybe in another country? What about a family member whose soul isn't even held within this earth? Somebody who's gone on before. Well, you know what? In the Eucharist, where the Mass is being celebrated, every single one of those souls is present here at the altar. Because every Christian united by the bond of charity, those who receive the Eucharist, who are in a state of grace, are always here present at the Mass. The saints in heaven, always there. The Blessed Virgin Mary, always there. Grandma and grandpa who died in Christ, always there. And every single one of our family members, present. Those in purgatory are present. So when we receive the Eucharist, we can offer that Eucharist for them, our own reception, and they're actually present there to receive it. They're actually there worshiping God at this Mass, at every Mass throughout the world that will ever be celebrated. The Eucharist binds us together. So when you look at that Eucharist and your family member is far away, you can always say to them at the end of your conversation on the phone, say, hey, look, I can't be with you right now, but I'm going to see you in the Eucharist. I'm going to see you at Mass. Make sure to be at Mass so that we can keep that connection. I want to look at Jesus, and thereby you're looking at Jesus, we're looking at him together. That's the grace of the sacrament. Amazing. Now, I promised a prayer. There's an opportunity for us each and every day to go to Mass, and you know what? I'm here this week. You can go to Mass every day. And if you can't make it to Mass, I want you to know you can make a spiritual act of communion by uniting yourself. Hey, God, I want to be there. I can't. I want to receive you, but I haven't gone to confession. You know what? I still want the grace. Give it to me in a spiritual way. And you make that prayer. And what I've got here, and I know we didn't pass it out before Mass because so many crazy things were going on, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this prayer for you, and I want you to close your eyes and meditate upon it and hopefully say it. It's the prayer of St. Padre Pio. It says, stay with me. Quédate conmigo. Because you want God to stay with you in the midst of your worries and your sufferings. Let's pray together if you have it or if you have it memorized. Stay with me, Lord. For it is necessary to have you present so that I do not forget you. You know how easily I abandoned you. Stay with me, Lord, because I'm weak and I need your strength that I may not fall so often. Stay with me, Lord, for you are my life, And without you, I am without fervor. Stay with me, Lord, for you are my light. And without you, I am in darkness. Stay with me, Lord, to show me your will. Stay with me, Lord, so that I may hear your voice and follow after you. Stay with me, Lord, for I desire to love you very much and to always be in your company. Stay with me, Lord, if you wish me to be faithful to you. Stay with me, Lord, for as poor as my soul is, I want to be a place of consolation for you, a nest of love. Stay with me, Jesus, for it is getting late and the day is coming to a close and life passes. Death, judgment, and eternity approaches. It is necessary to renew my strength so that I will not stop along the way, for that I need you. And it is getting late and death approaches, and I fear darkness, the temptations, the dryness, the cross, the sorrows. Oh, how I need you, my Jesus, in this night of exile. Stay with me tonight, Jesus. In the life and with all its dangers, I need you. Let me recognize you as your disciples did in the breaking of the bread, so that the Eucharistic communion may be for me a light which disperses the darkness, the force which sustains me, the unique joy of my heart. Stay with me, Lord, because at the hour of my death, I want to remain united to you, if not my communion, at least by grace and love. Stay with me, Jesus. I do not ask for divine consolation because I do not merit it. But the gift of your presence, oh yes, this I ask for. Stay with me, Lord, for it is you alone that I look for, your love, your grace, your will, your heart, your spirit. Because I love you and ask no other reward but to love you more and more. With a firm love, I will love you with all my heart while on earth and continue to love you perfectly during all eternity. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in the Eucharist, all this is possible. No need to worry. Only in God, in the Eucharist, can your soul be at rest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.